fuck it, we need a team bonding, everyone down to the Blackburn Arms.
You're listening to the Jai and Woody Show, brought to you by sportsfunding.co.uk, the game changer for funding community and amateur sport. Right, welcome back to the Jai and Woody Show. Yeah, I get a lot of shit about this because I pronounce it Wagga. Wagga.
That's in Canberra, isn't it?
No, yeah, Wagga, a place called Wagga Wagga. But anyway, we're joined by studio guest Wagga.
Wagga.
They always go to me, no, it's Wagga. So let's kick it off by, how did you actually get that nickname and how did it develop into Wagga Taurus?
Good question. I get that asked quite a lot. I did a dinner with Simo at Milford. It's come from my Bradford days with Jamie Langley at training. For anyone who's played with me alongside me, I can be loving, but I can get aggressive very quick.
I see that part.
So I can lose my head in training if there's any, like, we've all got them, haven't we? No wonder Jordan James tore his bicep for Lancashire. We're one of them in training. You know what I mean? Went hard, full on all the time, and I used to just lose my head. Langer started calling me Angry Taurus, so he used to call me Angry Taurus. But I'm a Pisces, it's not to do with anything like that. So I am a Pisces, born in March, but I'm called Wagga Taurus.
Right, that makes no sense. What do you reckon about that?
It doesn't, does it?
No, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, it just sums Wagga up. But are you speaking to me, are you?
Yeah. How are you?
All right. No, I'm just sat here. I'll just leave you to it.
Sorry, we're joined by Woody as well. How you going, Woody?
You were early today. Me?
Yeah, you're really early.
Yeah, no traffic today.
Yeah, I got here in half an hour. I'm the only man in the history of mankind to put on 2 kilos during food poisoning. How does that even work? I didn't eat or drink anything. Yeah, 2 kilos.
That's not food
2 kilo
poisoning.
Gain.
That's
muscle mass as well. So, I don't know, it's looking good.
That's Mad Monday, that. For no. You. Not food poisoning.
We only had half a Mad Monday. We're going to Magaluf on Monday morning at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that'll be chaos.
Bloody wait. Right, let's talk a bit of footy because for once, I'm actually excited for this. I'm excited. What are you more excited about, Wagga? Here, the relegation or the promotional push? The playoff push.
I've got to say, it's mind boggling this week, isn't it?
It's gripping.
Friday
eh?
night it is. I had to text a good friend of ours, Rugby M, Jimmy Bray, just about. That how can one of these four teams go down?
We had some wakey lads on last week and they assumed they were safe. Never assume anything because they're in the hot seat. I'll just run everyone through it. Wakefield 20 points, Huddersfield 20 points, Hull KR 20 points, London 20 points with a win last week. I mean, Wakefield in their possession, they've got a better for and against, which could end up saving them, but they still mathematically could definitely go down. Woody, is this more? I'd hate to be a part of this if I was playing for him. Oh. I mean, I'd hate to be a part of it, but when we're not a part of it, it's pretty exciting stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, we got rid of the £1 million game, but now there's £2 million games. You know what I mean?
It's bad. You don't want to laugh, but look, it's gripping. It's gripping television.
No, as a spectator, that's what we want to create interest in the game, and there's a lot of bad things can happen for the team that get relegated. There's a lot of livelihoods at stake, but, you know, this is sport and we know what it's all about, promotion and relegation, and that's the excitement of this season. It's not been... We haven't talked much about St Helens being top of the league or Warrington being second. Most weeks, I've been banging the drum for London and Danny Ward and speaking about Hull KR, Huddersfield and Wakefield. So I think it's great, but I do feel sorry for the lads. Because I was involved in the £1 million game when I was on the coaching staff at Lee, and it is an absolutely horrible week to be involved in, and the match day is, there's no atmosphere whatsoever. So I feel sorry for the guys, but, you know, I'm a spectator and it's quite exciting.
Well, I echo that, Woody. I got relegated at Castleford and for players and
that was
and,
against Wakefield, wasn't it?
Yeah, against Wakefield. Mm. So in tears. It's just livelihoods, isn't it?
Is that the same as what it was? Did it mean that your contract was basically void?
I signed a new 3-year deal at Castleford. Probably the best rugby I played, 2004. I'd signed a new 3-year deal and then contract void. just because we got sent down going into that last game. So I've experienced it. It's not nice.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's got to happen, and it's exciting at the same time, like what he said.
I think if you can incorporate a parachute payment with the team that goes down, then all contracts should be valid.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, it is gripping television to see someone go up and someone go down. But what's not fun about any of that is people losing their jobs. Look, if they want to set it up, if Super League want to set it up and the RFL want to set up championship this way, if they want to do them things, then you have to oblige to the contracts the clubs have signed. For me, that needs to do it. But anyway, let's kick off with the first game. Wakey versus London. At Wakey, London beat them last time with a pretty high scoring game. I think it was like 34-28 or something like that. Jordan Abdul. What about Jordan Abdul? He's put the nail in the coffin of the place he's going.
Yeah.
How weird's that? He's going to KR and he killed him.
How well did he play? Them lads, I know people are saying Banner Brothers, and I'm good friends with Jamie Lang. I speak to him a few times a week, and Wardy. They're just playing for each other, aren't they?
Yeah, but he's essentially voiding his own contract. But you can't question the bloke's like integrity towards the game and stuff, can you? Because
he's got that commitment to the London players, hasn't he, and his friends.
Yeah, but, I think rugby league players have that, you know, the loyal to whoever they're playing for at the time. I don't think he'll not be thinking about Wakefield next year. Well, I don't think he might be this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to what you're saying, you know, that band of brothers, the London lads pretty much all live together, they hang around together, and I think it unites them as a team. And I think being away from everybody else and, you know, that close proximity that they live, I think that is a real bonus for them. I think Catalans have that as well.
Yeah.
I know they don't travel too well, which is a shame. But you know, they're very tough to beat normally at home. And I think, you know, the teams that are away from sort of the heartlands of rugby league, it does galvanise them.
Yeah. I echo that. Wembley Challenge Cup final, there were every single London Broncos player out that day.
Yeah, and they're all having fun and having a beer.
Yeah. Brilliant.
I mean, they are quite isolated down there in London, but they also, with my understanding, is there's not many guys that have families and stuff, so they all live together. So, you know, you're building a team culture without trying to build a team culture. But
on saying that, you know, they're sitting bottom of the league, but for me, when you look at London on paper and before the season, they should already be relegated for me. They are probably, I hope they don't, if they're listening, I hope they don't find this offensive, but for me, they've overachieved this year, you know, for the squad that they've got, the budget that they've spent. But, you know, it's great to see them. I really, really want them to stay up.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the budget and the last four teams there, Wakey, Huddersfield, Hull, KR, London, they definitely spend a fair bit less than the rest of them. If you sort of injected that with another, you know, 300, 400 grand, which is probably what the other teams minimum spend, the team could look a whole lot different. It does need to be spoken about, though, the two games they did win against Saints, where Saints played. First game, they let Roby and a couple of others not play. Second game, there was a noticeable difference of about 8 first-team players. Yep. I mean, you've got to be fuming if London does go up and you're one of these other teams. It is a part of rugby.
Well, then they go to Catalan and get that win away at Catalan, don't they?
Yeah. And the thing is with Saints is, we can't criticise Saints for that. Saints didn't do London any favours. Saints were rotating their squad. So it's not as though they said, we're going to give them a win, we'll play our reserves, or, you know, we're not giving them the respect. All they were doing is rotating the squad, which is a smart thing to do. And, you know, it'll probably pay dividends for them towards the end of the year.
Yeah, right. How we see it going, boys? Wakefield at home, versus London. What do you got?
I'm going London. I just feel like they're that resilient. They're together.
Yeah.
They're not, no fear, have they?
Yeah.
No. Against Hull, they went a few tries down. A few tries up, shall I say, and then boom, they're on it, weren't they?
I tell you what I love about London, though. When you see Danny Ward and Jamie Lange on Sky, and they're just
they're dead relaxed.
Dead cool. Know that they can't really have, you know, shouting and bawling. They don't really have that much influence on the game at that point, and it's just good to see coaches relaxed and, you know, enjoying what they're doing.
Right, so that'll take London to safe in ninth, 22 points, and we'll move on to the next game. Salford versus Hull KR at Salford. What do you reckon, boys? What are we saying?
You've got to back Salford, haven't you?
Yeah, I think Salford would be too hard to beat. But you've got to look at all the other things. Like, Salford safe? Salford are safe in the five. They can easily... They're going into a qualifying elimination final the following week. They could easily rest players, and which would change the makeup of the match completely.
I just can't see Salford. I think they're on a roll. I think we've all played games. they're on that confidence. They're building that momentum.
Yeah.
Players that they've got playing well, Jackson Hastings, I know a lot of roles around him, and Niall Evels. They've got some outstanding talent, aren't they? And they're getting that recognition they deserve this year. And Watto, who you know, Woody as well, gets the best out of his players, like Wardy does London. So at the minute... I'll put it out there. I think they'll be in the grand final. They're playing that well.
Yeah.
And well, they're playing with that much confidence.
Yeah. Would it make sense for them to win 7 on the bounce and then sort of play a young team and lose by 50? It wouldn't make, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I said it last week. They're not the money ball team. Mm. You know, they're just getting the best out of what they've got. You know, they've had a few swaps and changes, a couple of loan plays through the year and stuff. But they're doing really, really well. And I was speaking to a Salford player yesterday, actually, in the gym, and you know, Paul Rowley's down there now as well, and he said he's having a bit of an influence, he's doing a bit of work with the forwards. So you know, they've got a great coaching setup at the moment, and they've got some good players, so they could finish the season strong.
How well is Josh Jones playing, Woody?
Yeah, he's class.
He's a middle. He's got that recognition, and he's played some good stuff. I know he's signed at FC, but he's still
FC have signed some mega players for next year. Like, they got a very, they probably got one of the most dangerous packs in the comp by a fair way next year, with the three Polynesian recruits from Australia. But look, just on this relegation battle, a Hull KR loss would almost guarantee their relegation, unless Huddersfield lost by more than... Well, they've got to lose by... They're already 10 points adrift. They've got to lose by...
Do the math, Jai. Do the math. Lose, do the math, mate.
It's crazy.
I didn't go maths.
I brought Wagger stats. I didn't go maths. I just thought if they win or they lose, they go down.
Huddersfield against Catalans at Huddersfield. I see Huddersfield winning this. I feel like Catalans got the cue in the rack.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, but if they were to lose, they'd have to lose by at least 10. it's
hard
by plenty.
What do you think about all these games are going to be changed to this? They've changed to the same day now, same kickoff time. That's to me is good, because then you could easily swing biased with games on Friday and games on Sunday. So look, there we are, we're having it. That's KR relegated according to the Jai and Woody podcast. I don't know, crazy. But should be a good weekend. Right, let's go other end of the spectrum. We'll talk about the final playoff spot. Hull FC have shot themselves in the foot, haven't they? Second, 5 weeks ago, second spot. Now they're looking all but missed out on the playoffs. What's your thoughts, boys? What do you reckon?
They're struggling at the minute, aren't they, with form? And you can tell by last year, Lee Radford, who's a good friend of ours, what he's looking stressful. He's looking stressed. They're just not playing with any momentum. Albert Kelly came back in. You thought they'd give him a spark, but against Castleford last week, obviously it wasn't there. They seem like, to me, that squad, they're not an happy squad at the minute. You see on telly, I know it's hard because you watch it on TV, but they seem like the players are arguing a little bit. I don't know if it's behind the scenes as big as that, but I think they've lost that confidence. They forgot how to win. And Gaz Ellis, from his interview, they've had a lot of opportunities to cement that playoff spot, and they just keep not delivering.
Yeah.
Well, we talk about London overachieving, and probably Hull have underachieved, really. They've had some big losses this season where, you know, they've had big defeats, and then week after they'll have a big win, and they're so inconsistent at the moment. But that didn't, you know, show good signs. The Jake Connor incident with Minicello, you know, when he was coming off, and it's very, very rare you do see that in a
anyone know
squad.
Him? Does anyone know him? He's know him?
I don't
Jake
know.
Jake Connor?
Yeah.
No.
I've heard by all
met
accounts.
Met him a couple of times, but never been in the same circles.
I've heard by all accounts he's a great bloke off the field, but I can't see that, eh? He looks like an absolute dick.
He does, but I love that. I love how he rattles players.
I like how he rattles them. He's rattled me before during the game when he was at Huddersfield, and I was like, This every single, because he was on my wing, we obviously came together a few times, and he was just a dick every time. And I thought to myself, this guy's an absolute tool. But it did rile me a fair bit. Yeah. But you can easily see how in that Castleford game that it went against them massively.
Yeah. His discipline let him down. Yeah. His discipline I'd let him down. He's let his players down.
I'd love, like, if, like, obviously I follow Warrington, and I'd love to see a player of his calibre sign for Warrington. Do you know what I mean? He's a player I would definitely have in my team. He surprised me how he's excelled in his career so quickly, because I remember him coming through as a youngster at Huddersfield and playing against him, and there was big talks about him, but he looked like a very nervous player in his shell quite a bit, and he's just absolutely excelled now. So I'd love to see him, you know, do good things, but he just doesn't look in a good place at the moment, and we don't know why. We'd have to...
He looks frustrated, doesn't he? He just looks like he's frustrated, not things going his way, and then... Obviously, the squad are as well.
Yeah, it is weird that he went from just playing regular right wing in Huddersfield to all of a sudden potentially being able to play six and centre for England. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That was a really quick change. It's almost like, I don't know, something was on at Huddersfield, because he just went bang. His career went crazy.
When
he was playing centre, 5-8, fullback.
When he came through the scene at Huddersfield, there was big raps on him. We played Huddersfield in the playoff game. I'm going back to about 2011, 12. And he played, and like I say, he looked like a shaky, very nervous kid. And I was very unsure, but people had big raps on him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he just went bang and excelled. And now, like you say, he's playing for England. He's had some outstanding games. The skill level on him is unreal. He's just a natural, carries the ball with one hand sometimes, flicks the ball over.
Special, isn't it? Special player.
You know, they're the players that we like to see. But he's unorthodox. Probably needs to.
It didn't look too good giving Minicello a bit of a serve, being him a bit of a seasoned professional and legend of the game. It don't look the best, does it? But see how we go. Right, so Hull FC's got to play Saints. They'd have to beat Saints. If Cass still lose against Wigan, Hull FC would have to. Oh, it's. No. Is that right? Yeah, that's ridiculous. I can't see Hull FC winning against Saints.
No.
I can see Cass even beating Wigan, but. Let's talk about that for a bit. Jake Truman warned by Adrian Lamb that he could be a target on Thursday night. What do you reckon of them tactics? I reckon it's quite smart tactics, really.
He's a special player, though. When we talk about rugby league and how much us three love rugby league, I love watching talent like that. Now I'm retired, I've gone the first circle. If I'm a player now, I'm a rugby league fan. And I love watching talent like Jake Truman. He can score tries, can't he? He's an attacking threat. He can kick. He's a leader for his age. Like Paolo said, he's got an old head, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's not many players that have that. They just look like they've got a little bit more time than everyone else on the field. And you always question it. Like playing with him, I just thought to myself, how is he, bloody 18, 19 years old, going to the line and just throwing this soft, cushy pass out the back?
Is he that strong, Jai?
He's good, mate. He's deceptively quick as well. He's got a great step. Mate, he's going to be quality for years and years to come.
Do you know what, though? If Luke Gill wouldn't have got injured in pre-season, he probably wouldn't. We won't be speaking about Jake Truman now. And, you know, he is a great talent. Did anyone see the comments by Phil Clark afterwards? He was like really giving him big praise and saying he could be one of the best ever Super League players that we're watching, which might be a bit premature after some of the great players that have been in Super League. But he is a great talent, and what I love to see is young kids coming through who are halfbacks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Halfbacks, because we don't really get a lot of natural halfbacks who can just play instinctively, like your Libri's types of halfbacks. A lot now is so structured.
Yeah. Well, he's nominated again for Young Player of the Year. I don't understand this. He obviously got it last year. He's probably played over 50 Super League games. Mm. Are you just eligible to go back into Young Player of the Year again? Because surely
it's under 21.
The more responsibility you give Jake Truman, Connor, the better the play.
Yeah.
They like that responsibility. They like that freedom. And he's getting regular, consistent rugby, isn't he? Each week he's getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
But saying that though, Jai, Morgan Smithies, Matty Lees for me has been outstanding.
Can you see anyone getting Morgan that over Smithies. Jake Truman?
Mate, Morgan Smithies at Wigan, he's a 19-year-old kid, and he's He's bashing people. He's running hard. He's taking 20 carries a game, 40 tackles a game at 19 years of age. You know, that's he might not be doing the Jake Truman stuff where he's playing nice with the ball and scoring the tries, mate, but he's setting some big platforms, as with Matty Lees. You know, Jack Walker's gone well at Leeds.
That's why I don't agree with him being on the Young Player of the Year award, because if you look at that as a whole, Jake Truman's been sent out there to control a team and a game at 19, 20 years old, which is a lot more responsibility than the rest of them players. And don't get me wrong, they're great players.
Well, it's not. But, I mean, they all have their own contributions. For me, an halfback's important, but you need those forwards like Morgan Smithies, Matty Lees, running hard.
But there's others that can do their job on the field. There's no others that can do the job on the field that Jake Truman's required to do for teams to
they're
win.
They're standing out at 19 years of age.
Yeah, I get that. I just,
in the middles.
Not everybody can do 30 tackles a game and you 20 carries and make big
mate,
yards.
It's soft in there. I've been in there once. What is soft.
Two forwards against one back we've got him here. He doesn't realise the tough stuff in the middle.
Exactly.
So that Morgan Smithies, let's talk about how many quality players Sid will produce. Because there's another one in here what's come through the ranks, like Niall Evans, Connor.
Yeah.
All come from Siddle, and I love watching Morgan Smith. Don't take a backwards
Siddle
step.
Siddle softcocks, they call.
Is that what they are? The machines are all built like machines.
Siddle is one of the amateur clubs I were really impressed with last year when we covered the NCL, because and I didn't realise how many people have played Super League who come from Siddle. Wow. Halifax, it's such a hotbed for rugby league, and they have a great structure for the young kids coming through. They have sort of like an academy system where they come through. It's fantastic.
I did a Waggers Little League at Siddle. I was taken back by all the coaching staff, like Luke Robinson, Griggs. I think that's the beauty of it. These players that retire go back down to their amateur club and pass their knowledge on. They're ex-professionals coaching these kids. The kids were taking the warm-up, under-10s. Yeah. The coaches were sat back. There were a few leaders, like a leadership team, like we used to have playing pro, and they were taking the warm-up at 10 years old. I take me off to the structure of the club.
I couldn't take a warm-up I was playing Super League.
They had a few leaders, honestly, say, right, guys, we're on the pads, and there were a few of them, and it was brilliant to watch.
Yeah, the other big news, Tompkins banned for punching on the ground. So
Joel Tompkins.
Yeah. They both should be banned, though. The other one's a bit of a grub, too. Tompkins banned for punching. Ban extended from 1 to 2 matches, meaning he'll miss the final match of the season for KR, which is another massive loss, and even more adds to probably why we think KR will go down. Yeah?
Yeah, well, it's a big loss. I mean, he's a leader, but he lost his head in that game, to be fair.
I'm surprised Mossy Masoi didn't get a ban.
Yeah.
Because that was a pretty...
Oh, the shoulder charge.
Well, he didn't wrap up. It was high. I don't know.
He wiped his own player out.
Fair. That's probably why they said.
He got a great shot on him. Didn't miss him.
Right, that'll wrap up part one. We'll be back with part two in a minute. Stag Sports Performance Wear are the official supplier of all Rugby AM kit. From t-shirts to team wear, their kit is made to last with your own unique design. You can grab some of our exclusive Rugby AM gear by heading to rugbyam.co.uk/shop. Or, why not allow them to create your team's on and off field wear? One-off charity match shirts are specialty. Just email info@stag-sports.com for your bespoke quote today. Right. Welcome back to part two. Wikipedia career spotlight's on you here, Wagga.
Oh, have you got long enough?
Here, listen to this. Do you know that we've all played on the same field together? I didn't realise that. Did you know that?
Played on the same field?
Yeah.
Dewsbury versus Featherstone.
All the boys. The trio.
All the boys.
You would have seen the back of my boots a fair bit.
Was that Dewsbury?
At Dewsbury?
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I was discussing it before the show.
Yeah.
I think we thrashed yous, didn't we? Probably
you will have done. You will have done when you're at Jewsbury. You got the win.
Yeah. No, I didn't realise either. Like I was looking at the Wikipedia career earlier and it said 2015 Jewsbury and I thought that's when I came over here. But a little night game. Ben Blackmore, Hitchcock, Woody, Letty, Will Sharp,
some players,
Ian Hardman.
Some players there.
Yeah, well, good on paper, we'll shit on the pitch though. let's get
good
into
party
it.
Team.
5'9" and 86 kilos, exactly the same as me. I think I've got you by a centimetre there.
86, I would never 86. They must have made me look bigger than what I was.
Are they giving you here or taking them off?
I think I made my debut at 78 kg.
Raining from Pontefract, England.
Yeah.
Is that we're
Monte
on the right
Carlo,
page?
Monte Carlo, yeah.
13th of March, 1982.
Yeah, definitely not a tortoise.
Boom. 2001, Cass Tigers, mate. Run us through it. So you signed from your amateur club to Cass?
Yeah, born and bred Ponty. Signed at Cassford when I was 15, so it was the old scholarship system. I don't know if you remember that, Woody.
Yeah.
Back in the day. So I signed as a 15-year-old. I went to Ponty College, did some qualifications, business studies. Signed early, got picked to play with the 15s. Came through the system, played for the academy, under-18s, and then played second team, and then made my debut at 19.
Boom. 69 games at down the Weldon Road, 18 tries and 56 goals.
Yeah, Matt.
Who did you make your debut against? What,
debut was against London Broncos, but when they were playing at Charlton, they were like still restless and showing my age now. There were some real old-school players. I'll never forget it because Lope, the old groundsman, it were like back in the day. So I believe they played in two areas, like the old school and then when it went all professional with the SNC stuff, strength and conditioning. But Lope, give me a shirt. It were XXL. I tell this story every time. I've got my shirt. I should have brought it in. Biggest shirt, and everyone who knows Wag, I love.
But these are the ones that used to be used to roll up and tape.
Oh, I had to tape the sleeves of me. Basically, my shirt came at the bottom of my pants, so I had to tape round my waist to keep. I had shoulder pads.
The old touch footy in the back with the
first,
tape.
I'll never forget it. First two games, and then I played Bradford Bulls away at Valley Parade, so they were like Stuart Field and they were McDermott, Jimmy Lowe's, Vergana, when they were just massive.
Yeah.
So I always remember them.
Do you know a few jersey swings?
I remember playing easy at Valley Parade about 2001.
Yeah.
And I was on the bench playing Bradford Bull, obviously. Paul Anderson and Stuart Field and starting Jimmy Lowe's at Ucker.
Yeah.
And Daryl Vanderbilt said, me and Jerome Geese here on the bench, weren't the biggest of forwards. And I said, Jez, I think Stuart Fielding and Paul Anderson are coming off. And he was like, yes, fucking hell. Like, but then when we looked, Brian McDermott and Joe Vanganer were coming on for the place. Yeah. And we were like,
how big were they? Physical.
You just couldn't get a rest, could you? They were just like the team, weren't they?
Spruce. They had machines, they just kept coming. I mean, I remember Paul Anderson when I was that 19-year-old kid. I had to tackle him off kickoff. So we steamed it on off kickoff. I just closed my eyes. I tackled one leg. I said, come on, mate.
There's only
down.
Robbie Paul who you'd run at.
Yeah, there were no one else, were there?
No, nobody. There was nobody below 90 kilo. No. Deacon and Robbie Paul, and that was about it.
I wish they were still there. Right, then 2005, your tries slowly declined throughout your career until you got to actually zero. Did any nude runs in there? You would have just done the nude runs just for the hell of it, eh?
Helicopter came out. Helicopter come out.
I whipped the helicopter out for you.
To be fair, I think I played better when I played bigger minutes. So I went from, that's what I talk about, how my career kind of changed a little bit. Cass, I got the number 9 shirt in 2004. I got picked for England and no one wanted to kick. So I just said, look, boys, I'll kick because I was that confident as a young kid. I just thought, do you know what? There were Francis Malone, there were Johnny Etworth, there were a few guys I don't want to kick. I'll never forget it. I just thought, do you know what? It can't be that hard. I just thought, I'll buy some balls. I even bought some balls and used to go up to the field near my house and just practice goal kicking because no one else wanted to kick.
That's weird.
First kick in Super League I ever did were on the touchline against Huddersfield. But then that was one of my highs, one of my lowest points were missing a goal kick at Leeds Rhinos, Headingley, in front of South Stand, in front of the sticks. So I've gone from kicking a few. I've won a game with a kick as well, won it against London Broncos. I've won a game with a kick, so kicking boots.
Did you slip over in front of the sticks or just dead set?
No, well, I just slipped and it did get off the ground. I think it might have hit Jonesy at back
of
head.
Poor lad.
That's how Jonesy became bald.
South Stand, give me it. But
I didn't believe that Wikipedia when I looked and it said like Wayne Godwin goals and I thought Wagger's never kicked a goal in his life.
15 out of 17 for England against Russia, all from the touchline, Woody.
The best, the try, best 34 percentage
points.
Conversion.
It's on record, mate. It's on, they can't take that away from me. And then I went to Wigan. There were Danny Tickle, Andy Farrell, so I never got kick. I never got to kick again, so that was my career gone kicking.
2005-2006 Wigan Warriors, says you played 52 games.
Yeah.
In what, is that in the 2 years?
Yeah, over 2 years.
So you hardly missed a game or
no? To be fair, when I signed at Wigan, There was Tez Newton, God bless him. Absolutely did everything for me, did Tez. It was great. He didn't see me as a threat. He used to help me. And that's where we'll talk about him tonight. But Mickey Iam and Kieran Cunningham, I believe Mickey and Kez brought that partnership of the hookers, where the second hooker used to come on, Mickey used to speed the ruck up. And that's how I became, really, for Tez. Frustrated Tez a little bit, because he went from an 80-minute hooker, and I used to just come on and speed the game up, which I went from playing 70, 80 minutes at Cass, where I probably played my best rugby because I was on the field a bit longer. I had to change my game to being a bit of an impact player. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I was still in the team every week, but...
You don't know how long you're going to get. It's hard to manage your time then, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. And to be fair, sometimes you'd be gassed after 5-10 minutes. I thought, I've only just come on. So sometimes you could be losing 20-0 and then you've come on and you've got to... I think sometimes you can try too hard, you can settle into games. But I did enjoy being an impact hooker, but I liked that. The more game time I got, the better, to be fair.
Some people they are better players coming off a bench, aren't they? I mean, I started majority of my career off the bench. Obviously, Gaz Carvel, Adrian Morley started a lot of games. I used to come on after 20 minutes. And I had this thing in my head that I needed to start. I wanted to prove my point, get me start. And until Tony Smith pointed it out to me, he said, you actually play more minutes when you start on the bench than when you... He said, when you start, you're only running like an headless chicken. You're trying to prove your point, and it just doesn't work for you.
You can get into a game when you start, can't you? You can get to the tempo of the game. Sometimes you come on, you want to make that impact, you're trying a little bit too hard, you want to do a special play. You might not even touch the ball. You're getting pumped. You might not even touch the ball. You met 20 tackles, and then in review, it's like, game's gone, you're shipped off.
That's the downside, I guess, when you come on. If you come on during a shitty period of the match, you might not touch it, and you're just under the pump, and then you get absolutely grilled in video. I think a good example is Brad Dwyer, who wasn't getting any game. Well, he was getting a bit of game time at Warrington, but not much. And then when he moved to Leeds, he sort of said, which is the point you're bringing up, that he sort of transpired into the player he is, and he is a starter, and he wants to be a starter. But I wonder how many players are out there that are bench players.
But I disagree with that, because I don't think Brad Dwyer is a starting player, as much as he's started this year and he's had a good season. But I think Brad Dwyer is your Mickey Iam type of player, your Wagger type of player, comes off the bench. And do you know that if you come on and your team's losing by 20 points, it's your responsibility as a substitute, as an impact player, to come on and change that game. That's why you put on the field. To be fair,
Woody, you get used to being that player. So I did get used to coming on, making an impact, not just in defence, but attack. You've had a few runs, you tighten the defence up a little bit. Talk were good, you give the lads a buzz. So, you've got to get to it. But I believe Dwight's a dangerous player, but is he a starter? At times, I've seen enough of him to think, do you know what? Give him a little bit more game time. But sometimes I like it when he comes off the ruck.
I've never felt as nervous in 2013. I actually got a start in the grand final. Yeah. And I was actually, I remember sitting there, because I was used to starting. That season, I started a lot of games, but I was an impact player, I'll say. That's a bit of a pat on my back. Not that I don't know if I made much
offload
of an impact.
Offload King, would he? I couldn't stop him offloading when I played against him.
Dead short of forwards.
But I remember sitting there before the grand final thinking, fuck, I wish I'd sooner start on bench, because I'm so nervous and I've got to make a good impression. I've got to start this game well. Anyway, we did get to 16-2 up, and then they brought Moz and Gaz on, and we ended up losing. So
come on, Gaz.
What is it like with your game management, mate? Like, obviously, because for 3 or 4 weeks in a row, you could come on in a losing position.
Yeah.
But then also, you can come on and you're in a winning position. Do you have to manage that different every time?
As an impact player, to be fair, at hooker, when things were going well and the team were going well, I remember coming on, scoring a couple of tries. I only played 15 minutes. There were benefits of that. I felt fresh, team were going forward, but then there were times where you'd come on and you were 20, 30 points down. You'd probably get 10 minutes of the first half, then you'd be cooling down again in change rooms. You'd play another 10 of the second half, that'd be 20 minutes, then you might come off and that's your game done. Yeah. You shower. So as a player, at times you thought, felt fresh there, felt good, did some good stuff. But then at times I thought, I'm not enjoying this. I'm not getting enough game time. I'm not getting into games. So frustrating, but week by week it were different, to be fair, Jack.
Right, then you, mate, 2007 to 2008, you moved to Hull FC. How'd that move come about?
Well, I see, to be fair, every club I've been at.
Seven clubs here.
Oh,
I was just.
I just feel.
I've been at 9 clubs. So I want to get it out. I know how you feel.
Because everyone sees me as this mad, mad wagatorist doing crazy stuff, running with balls, eating curries, and just being crazy. But believe it or not, I did care about my career and how I played. Absolutely loved it. But each club I've gone to, like when I signed at Wigan, I wanted to stay at Castle, I'll put it down, I signed a 3-year deal, but at that age, I just picked food in England. I know we were on an England day, but we played with some great players, and I felt like if I did drop down a division, that would hinder my development playing-wise. I didn't leave Castle because I got more money at Wigan. Everyone thought I'd have probably, if I'd have stayed at Castle, I'd have been on similar money because Terry Newton was main guy when I signed at Wigan. So when I signed at Wigan, I had to start again.
I think for me, if memory serves me right, the defining moment for me in your career was when you played Saints in Challenge Cup the Challenge Cup. I don't know what round it was. Was it 2004?
Yeah.
Did you get man of match that game?
I think I played. Yeah.
You had a good game.
Yeah, we'll run with it.
I will have done. But T-Sol, did I get a T-Sol? Remember old T-Sols?
I've got one on here.
Used to get a watch.
Yeah, he has as well.
That's it. He bought his.
You know 2003. Man of the match watcher.
Mate, they were the best ones. I got a few for me.
Me and Richie Mavers had them on Friday night.
How good's that? T-Sos, bring them back.
Therefore.
What, used to get a watch?
Yeah, used to get a watch. As a man of the match.
I give my granddad one, my dad one. God bless my granddad. He passed away, but he kept it. My dad found it over there. We were going through his house, clearing the house and different stuff. Found his T-Sos. I thought, God, how good's that? You always remember it.
Nostalgia.
Scored a couple of tries on Sky against Wakey. For a T-So, and you always remember they were good though, weren't they? Everyone loved the T-So.
And at the end, I thought that you had to, because a lot of players you said and thanked T-So for the watch, but you never had to say it, but I said it on the interview. I don't know why.
There were no social media back then, really, though.
Yeah. Oh, nothing,
mate. But in Australia, you used to get 2,500 from VB, and they're slowly going down, and it's going down here. It went to nothing here, didn't it, for a while? Now you get a silver plaque, 250 to a charity, which I think is great, but you've got to give the plaque back. You should keep at least keep the plaque.
Yeah. Going back to my career though, Jai, I know I've gone off on one there, but
no, that's all right. I just feel like every
club I've kind of, I signed at Wigan, there were Chris Radlinski, Brian Carney, Brett Dallas, Lamy had just retired, Andy Farrell ended up signing at Saracens. That year I signed at Wigan, there were Gaz Ock, he got that injury. There were Lockers who got injured, so we had a lot of injuries. Pat Richards came over, he was playing on the wing, and
he's quality, isn't he?
Oh, what Pat Richards,
but he wasn't,
but he wasn't playing well. No. I'll be honest, he wasn't goal kicking, he wasn't playing well. I remember when Patty signed, they put him on the wing as such, he wasn't enjoying rugby, the team wasn't going that well. So even towards the back end, we're in a bit of relegation trouble. My second year at Wigan, played with Jerry CUC, who he signed.
Who's the best Aussie import, you reckon? Ever. Into the Super League. You reckon Pat Richards has got to be up there?
Oh, yeah, by far, yeah.
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 You reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I remember being down at my old amateur club and speaking to a couple of Wigan fans, and not many people knew about Pat Richards, and I said, I was bigging him up saying, I said, trust me, this Pat Richards is coming over. I said, he's brilliant. He's going to be like probably one of Wigan's best imports. And he came over, and for the first 2 years, it was average.
Average. He just won West Tigers, hasn't he?
He just won the grand final. And
That happens with a lot of people that come over here. Like I've come over here and I've been shit for 4 years, so I'm still waiting to take off.
You were shit in Australia as well.
Well, I killed it back there.
That was took you in, not, Matt. You're not going back now.
It's not very documented, but I killed it.
You look at the quality they've had of, like, Steve Menzies, Beaver.
Yeah. Jamie Lyon's got to be up there.
Jamie Lyon, yeah. What about
Joel Monaghan?
Play with Tuara Nikau at Warrington.
Yeah.
I remember playing against Tuara. Jones's.
I mean, we've
Lulua had... Lulua from Wigan. Oh, shit.
We've had some big... In Super League, we've had... I mean, you talk about Australian great players. You just said, though, Tuara Nikau. Alan Langer came over. One of Australia's best players.
Yeah.
Andrew Johns has come over.
You can't count them because they only came over for not long. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they came over 2 years Alfie came over.
Yeah, but that's talking. What Andrew about Lulua?
But we've got...
Consistent-wise, and like when you go back
Jamie
to...
Jamie Lyon's probably the best for me.
Well, he absolutely smashed. I've never seen someone as small as Lulua. Not that he's small. He's still bigger than me. But he smashes blokes.
But different eras, like...
But he's not...
The older generation will talk about Mal Meninga, won't they?
Yeah.
And different players when they've come over.
Pat Richards is up there, but I think for me, what Jamie Lyon, a lot of people at Wigan had said Trent Barrett as well. Trent Barrett came over, but for me, Jamie Langley was a different...
Yeah.
He was just outstanding for me, Jamie Lyon.
Right. We've got some questions here for you, mate.
Yeah.
We won't talk about the rest of your kid. Just,
it's too long, mate.
It slowly fizzled out.
It fizzled out
to Dewsbury at night against Featherstone.
That's it. We all go downhill. We all go downhill, mate.
That's right. That's my peak. That's going to be my peak. No, that was me at my worst. Right. These are just left field. Who is the best drinker?
Best drinker, you know as well, Woody, probably pint challenge-wise, Danny Sculthorpe.
What, necking? Straight necking.
Oh, have you ever seen him? He's an absolute machine. From when I signed at Wigan, they used to go out with Danny and Tez Nukes around Wigan. They could drink, both of them. But back in the day, Cass Days, a guy called Michael Eager used to play centre. He could drink as well.
I was at Manly Wharf Bar once, right? And these couple of girls walk around, right? And one of them bet me she'd buy my drinks. She'd buy everyone, all of us lads, a drink if she beat me sculling a schooner. And I was like, I considered myself, 21, a bit of half decent on the piss. And I said, yeah, sweet. Mate, I'll show you the video after and we'll try and get the video up. It's on YouTube. Someone posted it on there. You've never seen anything like it. This chick absolutely destroyed me. I hardly got the froth off the top and she'd finished the thing. It was like she was a fish from the Atlantic.
Mate, Danny Sculthorpe will... it's like he tips it on the floor.
Yeah, it does.
Mate,
I've never seen it like
this. This is what this was like. I shit myself. I just went, what?
Schooners, though. They're only half pints. No. Schooners. Mate, schooners.
They're about 60 mil less.
Mate, two swigs and the schooner's gone. Even Wagner would win a pint challenge in Australia.
Please. Right. Used to be sunburnt and off to the hospital. Right, who's the angriest player you've ever played with?
Oh, angry. Gazok were fairly angry. Yeah, he could
get
angry.
He's got a new book out him, doesn't he? Any good? Anyone read it?
Yeah. I've not read it. Tez Nukes were angry.
Tez Nukes could
get very aggressive, especially when you're on the wrestle match. He could lose his head as well, Tez.
Yeah. Hull FC's got about... They've signed just angry players for next year. They've got about three of them.
You wouldn't want to be in that wrestle room, would you?
No, hell no. Right, who's got the best... Wait, what does this say? Who has got the best player... Oh, sorry. Producer Joe has he's got right. dyslexia.
Best player
he
I've
said,
played with.
Who's the best player best you've played with? But this is how he's worded it. Who has got the best player you've ever played with? Run with that.
I always go, I know I brought him a lot up tonight, but in my position, I always look for players in my position.
Yeah.
So I'd say Tez Nukes, but for his aggression, his leadership, how he could play, manage a game. And also Mick Iam's up there as well. I'd luckily enough to play a year with Mickey, but
I think everyone's played a year with him.
Everyone's played with Mickey
since the dinosaurs.
Totally two different players, but I look at people in Mickey's, my position.
Mickey's the only guy playing rugby league now who's seen a 3-point try. I think he's been playing that. Well, then,
but used then to I've, be able to kick it forward, eh?
I've got Sam Burgess. When I went at Bradford, I played with Sam.
Yeah.
And he were young, but he was just such a leader at an early age. He used went shoulder charge with shoulder charge. You just say, right, I've got this, boys, and just wipe people out.
I think Terry definitely is one of the best players I've seen over here and played with. And you know, you spoke about him there when he was at Wigan. That's as aggressive as he was, and you know, he was aggressive, but he was a competitor. But he'd always put himself out to help you, and you know, he was a totally different character off the field, wasn't he?
Yeah, it were unbelievable. I mean, I'd get a nosebleed leaving Cass, and when I signed at Wigan, I'll never forget it. I packed all my case up. I was still at my mum's and dad's, packed all my little Renault Clio up, put all my gear in it back, and moved in with Luke Robinson. Then I moved with Kev Brown, then I moved with Carney. So I were like
you're a journeyman.
Yeah, we're a journeyman over there. But yeah, Tez used to take me out drinking regularly. Loved it. Loved the pint.
When we went on tour in 2006, was in Australia, and same with Tez there, took me under his wing. Him and Brian Kearney said, Woody, we're going upstairs having a sauna. This is like one of, it was in Manly, staying in Manly, heat wave, one of the hottest days they've ever seen. And they went, Woody, we're going upstairs, come and meet us upstairs in the sauna in 5 minutes. We're like, what the fuck? It's the hottest day of year. And like, these are going having a sauna. And they seen me coming up. I went upstairs and they was in this sauna. Terry's doing push-ups and Bry's doing stair jumps. And they're going, 95, 96, 97. 98, 99.
You can't count past 100.
100! So I walked in and I said, what are you doing? They went, it's compulsory. When you come in, 100 stair jumps and 100 push-ups. So they made me do these push-ups and stair jumps. And they were just taking the piss. Like, they'd started on 95 and they're fucking just boiling.
I remember the first day at Wigan, they were Andy Farrell, Tez Nooks, they led the warm-up. I couldn't even keep up with them. They used to sprint. How Tez played is how he's trained. They were an absolute animal on and off the field.
Right. I'll answer this one first, give you time to think about it. Who's the best and then worst dressed in rugby league? Best, Blake Austin.
Worst, he loves an Aussie. Worst, yeah. Is the
Aussie. No. I've got one. I've
Aussies
got one.
All day long. I think there's only Giles, not too
and
bad,
he's a
to
bit,
be fair.
He's a bit suspect with his etiquette t-shirt on.
I can't say. I've got a few.
Up-and-coming
support the
brand.
Boys.
Reece Evans has got to be the worst dressed player I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Right, he comes up and corduroy pants into the nice little print, you know them printed shirts you get that say like New York or like California. he loves them, mate.
The thing is with Reece,
grey on grey.
If he ironed his clothes, Reece, he probably won't look half as bad. But no. I think he just picks them out his dog basket and puts them on in the morning.
He's got more hair on his chin than on the top, so no, it's shocking. Anyone, boys? Blake Austin can dress. He loves it. You would have seen him a couple of times, haven't you? He likes the big hats, a bloody sombrero.
I'm not sure about best dress, but he's still trying to keep school cool, shall I say. Franny Maloney, when I saw him, still wearing these skinny pants and leather jacket and got vests. He's going with the times, isn't he?
Gailey's a bit of a fashionista. He likes a bit of a leather jacket every now and then and a little whack.
To be honest, I like my skinny jeans. You've got to go with times, haven't you?
Yeah, but I think it's...
Remember the big boot cut jeans?
Oh, you still love them?
You still wear them, mate.
Shocking though, them, aren't they? Regular look back at pictures and you think, what was we thinking?
So baggy.
Right, best and worst trainers. I'm one of them. I'll let you guess which one. Best trainer? Got one? I don't know. Best trainer. Oh, Andy Lynch.
Yeah, Lynch a good chain, but...
He's the only bloke that's left rugby league and taken up fucking triathlons. Who does that?
He's crazy. He's one of the best trainers, but also one of the tightest guys ever played with. True story about Lynch here. Brought me leg, Fekir Palacina fella, playing at Bradford. I were housebound for 6 weeks, so all lads came round. They used to bring me Nando's, feed me up. Lynch came round, bought me some protein, some porridge protein. I thought... Cheers, Seth. Cheers,
I know
mate.
Where
Thank
this is
you.
Going.
Thank you. Very supportive. Because you never buy a coffee. Buy a coffee. Always proper tight. Bought me this protein. I thought, thanks, mate. Never thought of it. A couple of months later, we put an order in for some protein. Because back then, you had to even buy your own protein. So we put an order in. I said, oh, Lynch, I'll put an order in. You owe me 25. He says, yeah, but remember that? Honestly, I says, remember that protein you bought me, Wagger? I says, Lynchy, I thought that were like a present to get me back right, back playing, because I brought my leg. It came round and then it wouldn't give me money.
Mate,
who does that?
That
a Yorkshireman. That's who does it. A Yorkshireman.
They're the tightest, but yeah, unbelievable, Lynchy.
Mate,
He's doing some horrible stuff over there, isn't it?
18 kilometres a day and stuff. That's just stupid. maybe he's got them, you know, them brain knocks, them CTEs, but we'll see how we go. Who thinks they're the hardest? I'm looking at you because you think you're pretty hard.
I don't think I'm the hardest. I know I'm the hardest.
Yeah,
so.
easy one. I could never get.
There's blokes rupturing nuts and playing all the time now. Like, it's a casual thing.
No, man. No.
It is. It's like a dislocation. People just
Everyone
get on
does
with it.
Everyone does it, man.
I think I might have ruptured a nut the other day, and I just didn't even think about it. I didn't even speak about it after.
Man, only where you're rupturing a nut.
Go finish. Go on, mate. I'll let you finish.
We're going to throw one.
You going to finish? Or?
No, sorry. I lost my train of thought. My headphones fell off then.
Right. I've never won a fight.
Biggest lightweight. Who's just two beard Tom? Just comes out, just plastered after two. Who's the worst? I've got a few up my sleeve, I think.
I go hard. I go hard
early.
I get overexcited. Just get excited.
Melbourne Cup.
Go hard.
Type of horse, UA.
Yeah, all or nothing.
You got anyone?
Trying to think.
Lightweights.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, he was a lightweight on. We had a 10-year reunion at Warrington on Friday night, and probably the biggest lightweight was Moz. Mozer. Well, I'm saying a lightweight. I think he did about 10 pints and a bottle of wine in the first hour. So his one eye was open, one was shut.
So he's gone hard real early.
He's gone hard early.
You've got to give him appreciation and credit.
Yeah, you've
got
to give him a bit of credit, but he was absolutely steaming. And then Richie Mavers was sat down and this table's just come crashing down. And it was funny. I weren't drinking. I drove home and it was funny. We had a good do. But some of the lads, I think they need to realise they're not 21 anymore. They can't drink the copious amounts that we was when we were playing.
Junior Moore's for me. He's got a BMI of about a million, but big fella, yeah. And but can't drink for shit.
Fecker Palacini, he couldn't drink.
He challenged me one day. He challenged me to straight drinking, let's go, and it didn't end well for him. I think he ended up in Five Guys, just sleep on the table.
Well, there was a New Zealander used to play for Warrington called Danny Lima. Don't know if you remember Danny Lima.
Yeah, played against him. Good player.
Yeah, sure. Danny was a big Islander. Came over to Warrington, didn't drink for 12 months, stayed off it, heard a few stories about him, and he went out on his first night out. He had about 4 pints, was absolutely steaming, and got CS gassed in Warrington, and we had to get picked up in hospital. So.
Can you remember a guy called Luke DeVico?
Yeah.
Luke DeVico, yeah. What a guy.
The statue.
Yeah, the statue. The statue. We've got to give him a mention. First,
Luke DeVico, he played for the Sharks?
Played Canberra a bit as well as Sharks. Yeah.
Big, ruptured his pec.
So when he signed over here, that's go back to Danny Sculthorpe. We all went out, Danny Sculthorpe down the pint, DeVico charging in, going absolutely mental. DeVico smashed a pint pot over his head in King Street, just like, thought no of it.
We've all been there.
Oh, we've all been there. Just absolutely blind with it. That was first team do we'd had. So I think that was his welcome party. And then straight home. So it just got hard.
I can appreciate them people with a little quick party trick, blind as shit, and then they're off.
Sticking to drinking themes, you might not even remember these players. Certainly the young ones won't. But at Warrington, we signed a prop forward from Leeds called Martin Masella.
Yep.
And then at the time, we signed a guy who Jai might have heard of, an Aussie who played for West Tigers called Steve Georgialis.
Yeah.
So Steve, we was in an army camp in Plymouth. This is my first pre-season. I was only 17. And Steve Georgialis got off the plane, come to this army camp and met us in a bar. We'd done a first day's training. So Murty Masella was good friends with him. And he comes over at the bar, Murty Masella, waves Steve Georgialis over, he went, drinks on me all night. But what Murty had not told everyone is that he told the barman to give Stevie Georgialis Sambuca and Murty just water. So they were drinking for probably about an hour. All of a sudden, Stevie Georgialis is just slumped in this corner and like, Murty's fine. Murty knew we had a tough day. Like, I think we had like a 10K run to one place and we had to come back, and he got Stevie Georgialis absolutely wasted.
Woody, we're similar ages. Do you believe that you played in both eras?
Same age. I'm 82, I'm 81. But yeah, definitely.
Because when I made my debut at Cass, right, it ritual, you had to go out on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Monte Carlo
Monday
on a Sunday.
Club.
Big Monday club. So you went Sunday, you drink all night. You had, sometimes we'll go back to Cass Tiger Bar, we'd have a locking in there.
Cass Tiger Bar, that is a good Tiger Bar.
Mate, you can't do that these days.
This is the contrast to, as an 18-year-old, Darryl Vanderveld was the coach. We had Alfie Langer, Andrew G, Tuohy Nicko, coming towards the back end of the career. But the words on a Sunday, on a Monday, when if we'd been beat in the video, was fuck it, we need a team bonding. Everyone down to the Blackburn Arms in Warrington.
Yeah.
So we used to get steaming.
Woody, they were brilliant. We'd get smashed on Sunday, just have a little swim, a little video review, then we'd all be out again the Monday in Buzz Bar in Wakey. You'd see all
Tuesday
lads
off.
Right up, Tuesday off, fucking Wednesday fresh, and then it went all strict.
Yeah.
It was the flip phone, mate. Joel Monaghan was the first victim. The flip phone got him fucking beauty.
There were no social media back then.
Thank God. Now camera, these iPhones, mate, you can bloody zoom in 5 times.
Boy, what would it, and then it went S&C. Like, I remember my first weight session with first team. It wasn't about what you did or any technique, you just had to get as much weight on that bench press as whatever. Bench squat,
yeah.
Hand clean, all you wanted. They weren't bothered. No supplements.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Wasn't specific
training, was it? It was basically bodybuilding weights and run till you die. It weren't. It wasn't what we call now sport specific in terms of developing you for a rugby match, but. They were good times, but I must admit, I did enjoy towards the back in my career
that bit more
discipline because it wound me in. Because if it weren't for that, I probably wouldn't have grown up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'd have probably.
Hey, some players could do it.
Some players could do it.
We tried to bring Monday Club back at Cass, but Pelly said, get fucked.
Monday Club, mate. I used to absolutely love it. You got used to it, you got conditioned to it.
Weatherspoons. Yeah. Pint and a burger for £5. You can't beat it. Monday clubs, you know what I mean? And no, outstanding.
But when I look back, I think, wow, how did I do that? Because you're doing hills. But the leadership team and the experienced guys, they make you go out.
Yeah.
You as a young kid, you
if
had
you
to
were
be
going
out.
Hard, you was training the next day. You weren't ringing up
no,
sick
you
saying,
you had to train.
Coming
to be
in.
Fair, you had to train and you had to train well.
I'll finish with a real good story you've just popped into my head there. Matty Staunton. I don't know if he'd like this young fellow. He's only like 19 years old. He's up and coming player for Bradford. I'm adamant you'll see him in the Super League at some stage. So we went out and had a few beers.
We won't
see
him at Oddsall.
Well, you never know.
We might see him at Dewsbury, though.
You never know, mate. Right, so he's come out with the boys, right? And he's a young fellow. He's obviously, he's not got a whole lot of cash on him and stuff. And he's too proud to say he had no money for a cab home, so he ran 19 miles back home to Keighley.
What a guy.
After a night out.
Sobered him up.
He ran it. It was like miles and miles.
My mate from Elite, Ryan Hudson, Razza, he used to do that every night in Wakey. He used to live outskirts of Wakey. We used to say, right, Raz, back in the day when we were at Cass, right, Raz, we've got a taxi, let's get it. No. He used to get a pizza and just run home every night. With a pizza, run home because he says running home used to sober him up. So he wanted to run home.
Razza, Razza liked a beer.
Couldn't run
anyway.
Oh,
did he?
Did
he like a beer, did Razza? I've got some stories on him, but.
Mate, we've got. So, 2003, me, Gaz Ellis, and Ryan Hudson were like the young surprise selections for Great Britain.
Yeah.
So, David Waite takes everyone to Spain on this training camp to Marbella. Me and Gaz Ellis like talking, and David Waite says, listen, lad, you can all go out and have a beer. And me and Gaz said, no, let's look professional.
Yeah.
So they said, the coach is going, or you can stay for a beer. A couple of lads got on coach, and we're like, how fucking good do we look? Razza decides to stay. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, apparently he's in this hotel in Marbella on his fucking hands and knees and stuff
can
like
imagine.
That. Stay just fucking causing chaos, shouting and bawling and smashing things up. And he never played. The poor lad.
Did he do the Rolex? Did he do a Rolex beer?
Have you got time on your cock?
He was just doing that on his party piece.
My
wet helicopter.
The wristwatch.
He's wet Rolex.
Yeah, there's not many that can do it. Gadwin Springer can do it 3 times, a wristwatch. Right, yeah, that was probably one of the best Wikipedia careers we've done, mate. But that'll conclude part two. We'll be back with part three in a minute. Calling all amateur clubs and community sports teams. Do you need help in simplifying the bid, writing and funding process? Sportsfunding.co.uk can help your club gain access to community awards of up to £10,000 and capital funding of up to £500,000. Whether you need funding to improve your facilities or to run your community project, Sports Funding can help. Want to find out more? Visit sportsfunding.co.uk. Right, welcome back. We'll just continue off where we left, mate. Speaking of Ryan Hudson, mate, tell us, everyone, exactly what you're involved in with the coaching.
To be fair, Jai, it's my passion, except obviously Rugby M, which I love, because it keeps me involved in Rugby League. absolutely love it. And then my full-time job and my passion is with Elite Kids Coaching. So talk about Ryan Hudson, me and him go way back. He started with the rugby academies with Danny Orr and Sticks, which they're still going outstanding. So we do signpost a lot of the kids that we coach in schools down to their rugby academies. So we coach in primary school, so we've got rugby coaches, football coaches, dance coaches, gymnastics, forest schools. So everything we do underpins athletic development. So yeah, we do schools coaching, we run camps. We've teamed up with Rugby M running the camps in the grassroots, so we went to Cumbria. So yeah, really enjoy being involved in the community, you know, with the kids and inspiring them kids and the guys. So we've got plenty of camps going on, so if you want to check them out, elitekidscoaching.com.
Would you like to get back involved in the professional game, or would you, is that not something
to be honest with you? Today I've took over and I'm coaching Ponte College. I went to Ponte College as a kid, and because I was signed at Cass, I wasn't allowed to play for the college team, but spent a good couple of years at Ponte College. So me and Raz through Elite, we've took over their rugby department. So we did some trials last couple of days, and do you know what? I like coaching 5 to 11 in primary schools. You can make a real impact, but I'm also enjoying getting back with the older kids in the college rugby. So we did trials today. Anthony, probably not, would it? Just because I love what I do now, being the business manager and growing the business and also coaching. But I just enjoy just coaching the kids, not just rugby, but football and loads of different sports. But I think this year I'll enjoy it even more with Ponte College, because I get to do specialist rugby sessions for these kids, and we'll travel around and we'll have some good fun.
What's the youngest age for these camps? Because my young fella's up at 6:30 every morning with his Bradford Bulls jersey on, screaming bully, and he just wants to punch on. I filled out a couple of incident reports at nursery, because apparently they had a sports day and one of the younger kids was running too slow, so Eli, my young fella, decided he'd smash him, and tackles him. Two and a half.
It's tackling, like Isaac.
Tackling 3 year olds.
We need to get him together,
mate. He just smashes him. So what age can I get him into this?
He's 5. Take after you then, Jai. Yeah. Smashing people.
I was small, mate, but I was violent.
5 to 12 year olds on the camps.
So I'll set him in there about 3
across
and a half
the board. But that same with our multi sports camps, which we run at Alton, Pontefract. So we do the Rugby M camps as well, which we do in the club. So in October half term, we've got camps at Lot Lane, where obviously Liam Watts came from. We've got Dewsbury Celtic through Rugby M. We've got Saddleworth again, which we had 70 to 80 kids on them camps. And then we've got Stanley Rangers, which Adam Milner came down. So it's just about to motivate their kids that everyone's journey starts somewhere. Big shout out to grassroots as well, guys. Well, I mean, the little league stuff and visiting these amateur clubs. I went to Wath Brown, Maryport and Cumbria. It's unbelievable. Without grassroots, we had no game. You go back to the NCL stuff. I'd love to see that happen again, Woody. I thought you and Simo and Rugby M on that side were doing a fantastic job. I'd love to see that back, because Woody will vouch for me there. How much did they appreciate you coming down, giving your time up in them circuits and speaking to them, Woody?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, it was a big eye-opener for me, because, and do you know what? I have a bit of regret that I did some coaching at, in amateur rugby when I was playing professional, but I wish I'd have done more. Do you know what I mean? I should have gone back and done probably more. And when I did that NCL with Simo last year and saw, you know, that people were giving the time up, they were volunteering. The people are just really, really good people. They're doing it not because they want to gain anything out of it, because they aren't going to gain anything. They're doing it for the love of the game, and they're doing it so players, young lads, can have a career and, you know, strive to be professional players.
Giving these kids that opportunity to play the best game in the world, rugby league. I mean, I see it all the time in the clubs, like you go back to the volunteers. They're not getting paid. They just love the game. And them kind of players, like Adam Milner and Watts are coming down to Lot Lane, to see them players that they came from that club, their dream of becoming a professional can happen.
Yeah. But you, when you're a player, you don't think that you have an impact on people. But it's surprising, like, the impact. They look at you and think, he's been on TV, or he's played in this game, he's played in... You know, and it is inspiring for them kids, but you just don't see it
I'm not against Gyro, but you're still in them rugby league circles. You're playing at a good level. And then I don't think you realise till you retired and you come out of it, Woody, that, wow, you can inspire these kids. Just giving back. I'd love to go down to my old amateur club, Notley Rock, where it isn't about anymore. If there was, I'd be down there.
I could show you a video on my phone. I filmed my lad when Davil Clark scored a try in the Challenge Cup final. And he was... honestly, it's the best video I've got on my phone. My lad's like, I'm so happy I could cry, he says on it. And it like it makes me dead emotional. But when I showed it my friend said to me, he said, do you know that you'd have had that impact on somebody watching you as a kid?
Yeah.
And I was like, I never thought of it like that.
You don't realise, you know,
there'd have been a time, it might not have been a Challenge Cup final, but there'd have been a time when I'd have scored a try and some kid would have been jumping up like that. And I thought... 51 tries I scored, mate.
51 tries.
So there was 51 occasions when kids
see us.
I'm so happy I can
but
see
it. I'm inspiring our Charlie to run with bulls. He watches my bull video every night. There's a little bit of swearing on it, so I have to edit that video out. But believe it or not,
character building.
We are inspiring, and the guys, you don't realise, shout out to anyone who's listening, who's in them rugby league circles. I think Jess is brilliant.
Yeah, he's
been involved
just different,
in the community. Positivity. I mean, I see Jess in the gym at Ponty, and he's so positive, and he's great with the community, and just getting out there and inspiring the kids.
Yeah, good to see you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good man. Yeah, I'm back. True story, after about 40 minutes in, I just introduced him. Good to see him, mate. It's nice to see the boys. I generally do love rugby league. Don't know what he got,
you've
mate.
Been looking at Woody for too long. You needed a fresh face.
Mate, that's the thing is, though, Wagga, you're right. And you love rugby league, and that's what we need, people. We need that enthusiasm in rugby league, because... We can be, we're guilty of it sometimes on this, where, you know, we can slag things off in rugby, but you're so positive about it, and, you know, it's enthusiastic. You only need to look
at
it's
hard to bring up a negative topic here, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, Ashton Sims is a prime example. Social media can be used brilliantly, right? It can be positive, it can also be very negative. Don't get me wrong, I know the game and NFL, all this, it's not, it can be better, but... All the social side, I don't really get involved. I just want to tell a story and do something good and give back to the game, because I've gone full circle. I were in the stands at being a Cass fan from 5 years old. My Uncle Kev used to take me and my dad watching Danny Orr, Dean Sampson, Graeme Stedman, all these older generation. Then next minute, I'm going on the field with these heroes of mine. It's surreal, really, Dean Sampson, all these guys. And then I retired a little bit, lost a little bit of love, but now, full circle, I'm a fan again. Yeah. So I've gone from like a fan to a player back to a fan.
Yeah, likewise. it's exactly the same. And you know,
I'm not at that stage yet where I can be a fan.
You
won't get what we're trying to say, but I mean, going back to your enthusiasm, Waggy, look on your social media, your Twitter, your Instagram accounts and everything. It just oozes positivity. All the kids interact with you. Fans love you. Is Wagga coming? I'm sick of hearing people say, is Wagga coming? Is Wagga coming?
Do you know what? People say I am a weirdo at different stuff, but I love the fan interaction stuff and the kid interaction stuff, because without the fans and the grassroots, there'd be no game, would there?
No.
We need a few Fruit Loops floating about.
You do. Because what I want to happen in rugby, if we're talking about rugby, I want fans to get to games early. I want to showcase not just the game, it's an event. Yeah. Every game for me,
experience.
Yeah, every game for me is a big event. I've been to Twickenham a few times, right? The game, I'm not a big fan of rugby union, but the international stage, when I've been to Twickenham, live bands, the entertainment, everyone's down there early, the atmosphere. And that's what we can take a lot of. I know it comes down to marketing, money and budget.
Yeah.
But when the clubs put a special day on for the kids or get people down early to games, I think it generates that atmosphere, because some might not even be rugby fans.
Yeah.
But if them kids have a great day and do some face pitting or some games, they might come back.
Well, I think if we take you, for example, Wagga, the way I see it is, you know, your act with Rugby AM,
yeah.
For me, it interacts with the majority of what rugby league fans are all about. You're not going in boxes, acting daft, dressed up as a Frenchman, or running with bulls in boxes with the corporate side or anything like that. I know you can do that side as well. But what I'm saying is, your act with Rugby AM interacts, for me, with the majority of what rugby league fans are about. You know, we all just want to go, have a laugh.
Yeah.
I sat in watching the Challenge Cup final around all the Warrington fans, and that's when you see what rugby league is about. Not sat on a bench with the players and being involved in the game. Do you know what I mean? As a player, when you're a fan and you sit in the stands and you see what it means to people, that is when you need to, you know what rugby league's about.
Yeah. They go absolutely crazy. When you just sat around these fans watching the game they love and they're paying good money for and taking the kids, the families, and that game day experience in it.
The one thing the fan wants is direct connection with the product, which they don't really get. I think you bring to light the taking out the middleman. People want to engage with the player. People want to engage firsthand with who you are. They don't want to sit here and listen to a video of you saying, it's tough, it's hard, we're on to next week. They don't want to hear that bullshit cliches. They want to know what you're like after a few beers. They want to talk to how you are. They want to see who you are as a
player. It's real life, isn't it? It's what you are. And to be honest, rugby league players are the best in the world. You won't see footballers interacting with fans like rugby lads. Yeah. The players that are playing now, they do some great stuff with community. They're involved. You don't see any rugby fan turning a signature away, do you?
No.
They try their best. Like Jackson Hastings, another prime example, who we go back to Jesse and different players, like Austin.
Jesse
shows up to people's houses.
I know.
His missus was selling cakes, but and the Cass fans were coming around, and he was inviting him in for dinner. But he's having dinner at his house. That's weird, man.
He has embraced Cass Vegas, hasn't he? Let's be honest. If you come over from Australia, you've got to embrace it.
Yeah.
Like Jesse has, like Austin. Just embrace it. And the stuff they're doing to these kids, they're getting fans into the stadiums, giving them boots and shirts. Something so little can make a massive impact.
My lad, again, just going back to my lad, I see it first. My lad is a Warrington fan. I always say he's the Warrington's biggest fan.
Yeah.
And I can't believe the look on his face when he sees Warrington players walking around. When I go and do the match day hospitality, when a player walks past, he's like in awe. Now, I never thought my lad would be like that because he's been brought up around rugby. But
you probably instilled this in him without even knowing, you know.
Yeah, but you don't realise because he'd have been to a few games.
His phone is plastered with pictures of him with Josh Churnley, Blake Austin and all that. And he just absolutely...
Who's his favourite player, would he? Except for you, of course, back in the day.
Well, I wasn't anyway. I think it was Mozza when I was playing. But his favourite player at the moment is Churnley and Blake Austin.
Yeah.
And he walked out. I got him to be a mascot at one of the games and... He walked out with Blake Austin and he was absolutely buzzing.
You got Josh Chandler again with joining Jack on and big supporter of. The stuff Josh is brilliant with Jack and the stuff he does for the charity side as well, I think is brilliant.
Now, mate, speaking of your rugby AM escapades.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Let's talk Wire Flyer.
Oh.
Are you the Wire Flyer?
No, people texted me after. I said, oh, Wagga the Flyer. What happened? I did a game day at Watford, right? This is how quick
I'm so confused because I seen you in the green suit and I thought, oh, you mother...
Well, I've turned up and I'm good mates with Sean Briscoe and the media people at Watford are absolutely outstanding. They said, look, Wire Flyer, for this day, I still don't know who it is, but I didn't see anyone behind the scenes. He's not been able to turn up. Do you fancy a guest experience? Wagga says, yeah. I said, I'm slow, but I said, I'll have a dig. So it was just I went in the right place at the right time. Plus, it made the feature a little bit more special. Just got in the suit and, just tried my best. Legs gone, though. Legs are gone.
I issued a challenge to the Wire Flyer, and then I seen your head in the green suit.
I thought to myself,
shit, he's quick. Like, what the
hell? I've never been quick. But, everyone could tell
thought,
it wasn't
I thought it was Kev Penny.
Well, I thought Kev Penny, but...
He's quite big, the Wire Flyer, when you look at him up close.
Rangy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's got rangy.
It could be someone with nothing to do with rugby league and they are a runner.
I had a bigger package, reveal. To be fair. I did him on package. All over him, mate. Yeah. All balls, but I did him on package.
Oh, jeez. Right, we'll bang out a few talking points before we wrap it up. Christian Wolf appointed Saints head coach. Richard Agar full-time at Leeds next year. What have we thought of them appointments? Personally, I don't know who Christian Wolf is. Probably should know, but a bit weird.
He's got big foots to follow, hasn't he?
Did you think it would be more of a homegrown coach? Think they'd go English?
No, I always thought probably Saints would go abroad, but from my Wagga stats and my research, to be fair, Jack, I didn't have a clue who it was myself.
He's crossed out a few things there as well.
But what he's done with Tonga sensational. Yeah. Obviously got to the semis. They beat New Zealand. His background, obviously, come through the systems, North Queensland in the youth system, been an assistant coach at Knights and Broncos. So he must have got special mention. I'm not sure if Long has worked with him, but he must have done, McManus must have done his own work on this coach, because to replace Holbrook is going to be a big ask. They've got some special players though, Woody, aren't they, in that team as well?
Yeah, I mean, we're saying about
that'll make the transition easier.
Justin Holbrook though, hasn't won a trophy with Saints yet.
No.
You know what I mean? I know he's won the league. But
league leaders two years in a row, but he's not got that
Super League or the Challenge Cup. So, but yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised that they went with an Aussie coach, to be honest, Saints.
No. I'm interested to see how they go, because it's going to be a relatively similar side going into next year, player-wise. They're not going to lose too many players. So people always wonder,
it's
going to
be a man management joint.
Everything, you know what I mean? How much does a coach make?
That's, I believe, what Justin's done right at Saints. He came in, took all the pressure off the lads when they weren't playing so well. So I don't know him personally, but when I've interviewed him or been around, the lads speak highly of him. And you know yourself, you can be the best coach at will, but if you can't man-manage and get the best out of your squad, then you're going to struggle.
Now, moving on, Leeds, Richard Agar full-time. I did have a look online. It wasn't as well accepted by the Leeds fans than I thought it would be. I think he's done a reasonable job. Obviously, there's some losses in there and whatever, or half wins, half losses. Yeah. But look, he's pulled he saved them from relegation. I mean, they were well and truly in the hot seat for a number of weeks there. Mm. He's saved them. Or the players have pulled their finger out and saved themselves.
I still don't know who's going down, though, do you?
No. Is it possible Leeds can go down?
Let's go through the points again.
Leeds are going down. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts of the appointment?
Again, I'm not surprised they've given it Rich, because he's done a decent job. I think probably where the fans are looking at is they're looking at his past record, what he did at Wakefield and Hull, and probably, you know, he's not got a distinguished coaching career as such, but I think he's a much better coach now than he was back then, and he probably said that himself. He's got to be. He's worked with Tony Smith for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
He's been over to St George over in Australia, and he's done a good job at Leeds. And I've never spoke to a player who's worked with Richard Agar who's spoke badly about him.
It seems like he comes across well on Sky and stuff as well. He seems like he knows.
I think he'll do a good job. He's been put into a position though with Leeds where they're in a massive transition year. There's too many players left for them to still be at that top peak. You know, we're talking about Jamie Jones-Buchanan and Kyle Ablett. They're retiring at the end of the year. Two big losses for Richard Agar, you know, who he's got to fill those boots. The amount of Super League trophies and Challenge Cup trophies and League Leaders and World Cup Challenge
the
games
dynasty
in those two players alone is more than in any other squad.
I think personally the Leeds fans and Leeds in general expected too much. Too early.
I think
just because the Leeds Rhinos. I saw it at Bradford when Bradford Bulls field and left Deacon. They lost a lot of big names: Vergana, Newton.
Yeah,
it's hard to replace your Lulawais, your Peacocks, your Rodbury, your Shev Walkers. They've lost a lot of players, and they have tried to plan for it.
Yeah.
But these players coming in, Woody, they can't always replace that experience and them kind of advert. I think Richard Agar has brought some stability. I agree. I don't think he's brought stability. They've got some decent wins. He's got to know the squad, hasn't he? From all accounts, I think he's knowing his players, isn't he?
Yeah, well, what Leeds have lost. Yeah, they've lost quality players in your Burrows, your Danny Maguire's, your Sinfields and your Peacocks. But you've also, those players are Leeds lads who want to play for Leeds. And, you know, we spoke about it when Matt Diskin was on. But they could have gone to other Super League clubs for a lot more money and stayed at Leeds, because the passion was with that. And there's the heartbeat's been ripped out of Leeds. It was eventually going to happen because they have to retire and move on at some point. But it's going to be a tough job now rebuilding.
Oh, it's going to be massive. I did think Leeds personally, I thought they'd have made a change. I just thought they'd have gone for someone.
Well, we touched on that. We touched on that a few weeks ago. That even you can include that Bradford. What, 2005 was it? Bradford, that side was that the best two? Was that? Well, anyway, you can include that side and the Leeds side during that time that they just reigned champions for years and years. You couldn't sign that caliber of team in today's market. Like you just couldn't get. You couldn't get all them players in one squad now. It's not feasible. It's not. What is it? 1.2 million the cap. You couldn't fit him in there in today's market. Someone would be wanting 400, 500 a year. But yeah, anyway, on to our retirees. Benny Westwood, JJB, Mickey Hyams retiring for the fourth time as well.
and I've looked.
What's thoughts? Boys, you've played with these guys. I didn't play with them. Benny Westwood does look a bit weathered, doesn't he? What are your thoughts?
King of Normie. He does it, the King of Normie. He doesn't want to retire, does he? But unfortunately,
they could probably
go
around again.
Super Benny.
How old's Mickey? 37?
39.
39.
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal stint in the middle. Because you can, let's be honest, I am a winger. You get away with a bit. I do more at tackling at training than I do in the game.
I retired at 33 at hooker, and I look at Mickey and I thought, God. And you know what? He's still got it. He still can play at that level and it looks after himself.
I just don't know how you do the shoulders every week.
I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he recovers. I just couldn't recover in time. I wanted to join my rugby because I couldn't train how I wanted to train. That was the big reason I retired. I'd lost a little bit of love because I couldn't train how I wanted to train. But Mick Hyman and these guys, Jonesy and Super Benny Westwood, and the trophies they've won and the memories. And not only are they great players, the great characters what we're losing as well. Yeah. But hopefully, Jonesy will definitely keep in the game. I hope Benny stays in the game in some shape or form.
I think with Mickey, Jamie Jones-Buchanan and Benny Westwood, we're probably losing, you know, some of the toughest guys who have played. Mickey's 5 foot. He's probably made, you know, a million tackles in his career. He's played over 500
games.
Someone
to come up with that stat actually and say, look, he's actually made 350,000 tackles.
I'll tell you what, Benny Westwood, great player, but he can drive a dustbin wagon as well. I told that story at Milford Clubhouse when he hit that dustbin wagon.
What is it then? Go on.
I've got to tell it. It's a tribute to Super Benny. I've never played club level with him, but there were a few of us got picked for that England A 2004. They were like Rob Burr, Kurt Yeaman, Andy Coley, Andy Lynch. We had a great squad. We'd beaten Russia. We flew to France. Like I say, we're old school again, so we're all drinking. There were Carl Harrison, Dennis Betts coaching. We're all just drinking, so we get a win, we just go straight out. So we're in France, we're in Saint-Tropez, we met David Ginola, we play the game. After the game, we said, right, who's out? Similar to what he started before. Coley and Andy Lynch decided to stay and be professional.
Shock.
you go back to Lynch, top pro, top trainer. He didn't like a drink. I just thought, you know what, let's go. So we went to Saint-Tropez, loads of boats, loads of different stuff. End at night, anyone who knows France, you can never get taxis. Never get a taxi. So on the streets, ages. Paul Riley, Huddersfield fullback, Gareth Rayner, talk about running home from a night out. They just ran off. They said, look, we'll run back to hotel. We're a good 45, 50 minutes back to hotel.
That's a British thing. That's
it is. There were a few, got a few lifts. There were then this dustbin wagon pulled up. Dustbin wagon's pulled up. He's got out of his dustbin wagon, this French guy. He's jumped in a little dustbin wagon, drove off. Super Benny Westwood straight away from Normie, up the neats. Said, ah, Wagger, watch this. Run over. There were me, Luke Robinson, Rob Parker, Lee Greenwood. Jumped in dustbin wagon, started it up. Said, right, boys, I'll drive it back. So we're all on this dustbin wagon. There were me, Rob Parker, Luke Robinson at back. And Bennett, I says, Bennett, it's a good 40 minutes. It's not down the road, this hotel. He says, I've got this, Wagger. Drove it, right, through Saint-Tropez. Me and Luke Robinson fell off back of the dustbin wagon, and Super Benny didn't see us, so he left us in the middle of nowhere. We flagged a white van down. He didn't speak any English. He had us at the back of this van delivering croissants to these shops on the way to his hotel. I've got to the bottom of the street, no lie, the dustbin wagon's parked diagonal across the garage at the bottom of the road. I've got back to hotel 6 in the morning. We go back. We had video review. Well, like that. Video review at 9 o'clock about game. I looked at Benny and Benny went, got it back. I got us back, boys, didn't I? that's the stuff. See, if you had social media back then, we're all like, we didn't tell Carl. True story. We didn't tell Dennis and Carl till a few years after, but there was a video going round.
Yeah, there
that's
was.
That's Rob Parker. There were me and Rob Parker at back doing interviews, different stuff. Say, yeah, we just got the win in France. We're mental at back at dustbin wagon.
But we signed Rob Parker in 2005, and I remember turning up at training, and all the lads are stood, like watching this video on this phone, and it was proper shit, like pixelated, image.
Proper old school knockout.
You're all like, this.
You can't be saved from that now.
Mate, we beat Russia, we beat France, we couldn't get a taxi. Super Benny Westwood, what a guy.
I wonder if that footage is still knocking around somewhere.
Imagine though, if we'd have done that in...
No, high resolution is the death of rugby players far and wide.
Yeah.
Right, that'll wrap it up. I think that's our longest, but one of our best.
Yeah, good on that.
Michael, thanks for coming on, mate. Appreciate it. If anyone wants to see anything about more of the elite kids coaching, we'll post some links and stuff if you want to get your kids involved or just help out in general. Thanks for coming on, mate. Woody.
No worries.
Thanks as usual. We're not on for next week because I've got Mad Monday and shenanigans flying about.
Mad Monday.
We will be
back.
Can
I come? I miss Mad Monday, Woody.
Let's take
best
it.
Best day of you.
No, we will be back. Probably a little grand final, pre-grand final episode or something in there. Just stay tuned on our Twitter. See you next time.
Boom.
This is a Rugby AM production.